James can be our heart starter just before I bring Kingy in. James is in Essendon. Welcome, James.
Good morning, Jared. I want to talk about David Teague. He's a matter of fact, he comes across as a no-motions guy. The bloke is no good for the club. And he tells us that he's got faith in the group. Now, I went through the North Melbourne list on Saturday. They got beaten by a first-year and second-year players, Jared. They should hold their head in shame, the Carlton players. And the people that run the club, they should. I don't know how they run their companies, but they've made an absolute shemozzle of the Carlton Football Club. It's a bloody disgrace, and they need to get out of there very quickly. And they can take that silly bet that jumps on people's back. He's a crummer. He's not a high flyer. Thanks, Jared.
I have a feeling that's been building up in James for the best part of 48 hours. I doubt he's alone, having sat through the third quarter and called it. David King, good morning to you.
Well, hot start, G. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Come in hot.
Well, this is what Carlton looked like when the one thing that's worked for them all year defensively gets beaten. Jacob Wiedering has held Carlton together defensively. He has borne the brunt of the lot. Everything that's come downfield, he's had to win one-on-ones against the odds. Liam Jones the same, but more specifically Jacob Wiedering. Those two have had an outstanding seasons, and they got beaten soundly, which is not a problem. We're not having a go at them. Every now and then someone gets hold of you, and Nick Larkey got hold of Jacob Wiedering, and you saw what Carlton looked like when they don't have those two saving them. The two-man defence. We laughed about this a few weeks ago. Everyone's going with a full 18-man press, 18-man zones, grids, whatever you want to call it. Carlton go with the two-man. And at some point, the realisation of what it looks like when you don't have Wiedering saving you hit home. That third quarter the other night, from a Kangaroos' point of view, it was fantastic.
So we will get to them because they're in the best bits.
Yeah, but they allow so much, don't they? I mean, 7 goals, 2 from 12 entries. Well, that's ridiculous. From 12 entries, the AFL average would be 1 in every 4's a goal, 1 in every 4.5's a goal. So that should be 3 goals at max. 7 goals, 2. So you see it at its worst. Now, this is not a new thing. This has been a defence that's been tinkered with at the bye, but I just feel it's too late. I mean, you'll talk to Justin Lepich this week and he'll say the same thing. He'll say this is a simple fix, but it's an off-season fix. But the more you look at it and the more you see how easy it is to play your way against Carlton, and unless you take something off the opposition, you are going to get beaten against the best teams consistently. It's what you do without the ball that makes you a rigid, honest football team, and they have players who are too dishonest to support any method. Joey Montagna showed some vision last night of Adam Sard. Now, this is about Adam Sard personally, but this is across the group. They work for individual reward in terms of disposal at the expense of ensuring defensive integrity. Run for the handball receive or the chip kick out wide to the boundary instead of staying where you should be and guarding corridor if you turn the ball over going inside 50. That's what the good teams do. Melbourne do it to a point of holding a man 100 metres behind the ball. Harrison Petty or Jake Lever or Stephen May, whoever it is, doesn't matter. Doesn't happen to Carlton. And you say, well, why doesn't it happen to Carlton? Because they don't value it. They don't reward it. They clearly don't train it. And Jacob Wiedering has one bad day and you see it at its worst.
North Melbourne's capacity to just shear through the corridor all day. So not just the third quarter, but their capacity to, once they got the turnover and to whiz it straight through the middle was, they are the 18th team. Now, their six-week blocks is they're not the destitute team that they might have appeared to be early. So, but that systematic failure to guard the corridor in any way. Mm. So they built some credits across 4 weeks. And this time last week, we took a series, and it was great to hear, of the optimistic Carlton fans. And that has been, that's been burnt in one quarter and across the game. Was this the loss that they couldn't afford?
Horrible timing. And the method in the way they lose is more damning than who they lose to. because it's the same. You know, texts come through, you know, you guys know everything, why don't you coach Carlton? It's not about us. It's about comparing to AFL standard. It's about what the competition says is acceptable and isn't acceptable, is competitive and isn't competitive. It's not about us. The Carlton Football Club are not going to make a decision on David Teague because we say they can't defend. It's because we can see it every weekend at some point. So I looked at that game and I thought, okay, let's just look at when the Kangaroos go through the middle, what happens? So there's a defensive panic starts and everyone charges in to put a tackle on. No one covers the handball receiver. They all just go to the ball, go to the action. So there's the ability to get, if you just handle the heat for one handball or one small, you know, short kick or knock the ball into space, all of a sudden it's out and gone. One ball carrier defeats three defending players. So there's no real system or cohesion through that midfield core, which then puts all the onus back on those two down back to win the ball or to defuse. And they broke on the weekend. That's it at its worst. We saw it at its worst on the weekend. So what does that mean for David Teague? It means he has to answer the same questions again. Why hasn't this changed? How are we here? Have you prioritised offence so much that now we can't defend? Have we got the wrong players with the wrong mindset that are breaking us down? Are you allowing this? What are you rewarding at your football club on a Monday that drives the standards? So these are the sorts of questions that'll be asked. And if you can't come up with logical, you know, tangible evidence that things are changing and that you do all those things in the right manner, like the good football clubs do, then you find yourself out of the footy club. And that's a cold, hard fact of AFL football. You can't exist with a substandard setup and expect success. You can't.
Let's take our Carlton calls here. Snapper is Port Phillip Bay. Hello to you, Snapper.
Good morning, gents. How are we going?
Very well.
That's good. This loss was coming. This loss was... For the last 4 weeks, in the 3 wins that we've had, that none of them have impressed me because the style that we've played, just get out of jail wins. Even the Collingwood one last week, it was just get out of jail and we broke Collingwood down and we finally got what we wanted in the end. But this has been coming for a long time. And I think that I think it was Jonathan Brown and Nick Riewoldt on Saturday said that the Carlton players need to work out who the danger players are and shut them down. That's not the player's job. That's the coach's job. That's David Teague's job to say, get him on that North Melbourne player and shut them down. Not the players. That's why you have a coach. That's why you have assistant coaches. This year was meant to be finals. We lost to Geelong because of bad kicking. We lost to North Melbourne when we bad kicked in the first quarter. We lost to the Bulldogs after being up by 5 goals. That's 3 games that we should have won. When we should have won, you'd be on 40-odd points in the top 8. They have blown it. He's got no... He's walking out 3-quarter time. Fox Sports show the images. He's mouthing off. Come back after the ad break and he's calmly talking to the players. Why calmly? These players deserve a spray. These players need a Clarkson or a Ross Lyon or a Brad Scott in front of them, hammering them because they've got it too easy. This club is going nowhere under Teague. He doesn't know what he's doing as a coach. North Melbourne beat West Coast. That was a warning sign to the competition that this team cannot be taken lightly. We took them lightly and got destroyed.
I had a hunch we'd end up here on Monday morning. Snapper, I'll only move on because there are just so many of your brethren who want to have a say. Pete's on the road. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's funny you hear Teague keep saying, I believe in the players, but the question is, who still believes in Teague? You know, I think we're answering the wrong question. I don't think it's about the players. I think people see the capability of the players with just the coach. I can hear the old Tony Gregoire now, Jared. Get the line on the line. Get the line on the line.
Oh, Pete, I hope you've worked on that for a few days because that is a good one. That's a good one, Pete. Nick's in Mansfield. Hello, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going?
Good, good.
That's all right. I just wanted to find out. like, I'm not totally upset with Teague and the way it's all come out. They had no forward line whatsoever, no tall target to kick to. They had no one to go back there and help out when our defence was under the pump. So our forward line was pretty much shot through, no tools. The one part that I was a bit perturbed about was the fact that they played Silvani in the ruck. He's our only tallish forward, and they put a midfielder as our key forward. I couldn't quite work out why they wouldn't just play four midfielders at the centre bounce, rove off their ruckman every time Goldstein gets it, smash the living daylights out of him, and then he's going to get up tired every time, and that gives the Koenig a bit of a chance. But the way that they just let it go on and on and on is very frustrating. And I don't know whether a serve's going to help them, because I do a bit of teaching, and the younger generation will not, they won't bode well with a serve like that. So they have to try and work out another way to sort this out.
Yep, Nick, thank you. Peter's in Essendon. Peter, have your say.
Yes, good morning, Kingy and Jared. Just quickly, who's his assistant? This is what, you know, it's all falls back on Teague. And what are the assistants doing? What has he got to work with his assistants? Looks like there's not much. And another commentator that broadcast the game said they just don't have the will. Now, that's a damning. They don't have the desire or the will. I can't understand that.
Pete, thanks. So that's the set of Carlton calls. I'll rule the line there because we're working with an hour today, and I'm sure we would lose the whole means test to
just,
that.
Just before we do, so you can win games of football that don't – if Carlton won on the weekend, it wouldn't really help them, Jared, because ultimately this sort of plan is going to fail. And I think the callers are right. Because Harry wasn't there, there's no tall targets. One way to defend is to mark the ball when you go inside 50. Then you don't have to worry about – chasing back the other way. So actual offense can help defense. I get that. But the only way they were going to win that game without those tall targets, forward to center, Curnow and Mackay, was to defend. And that this is why it hits home so hard. So the game should have been set up for defense. We've got to defend our way to victory today. And it didn't happen. So if they had won the game, would it make any difference, really? Would it make any difference in terms of their long-term plan? Or does it just give you a false economy?
Zook has a little unkindly sent through, attention, Jared, please don't worry about the Olympics. Love hearing the whinging Carlton supporters on a Monday morning. 3 hours of it would make my day. Zook, that's both unkind. And I've got news for you. Is SEN Flip. So if you've got the SEN app, once we turn our attention to Olympics at 10, Kano's got the reins on SEN Flip. He'll be unstoppable for 5 hours.
Oh, no.
So you'll want for nothing. Gold medal in the triathlon. Christian Blumenfeld came over the top in the last 2.5 Ks, wins the gold medal for Norway. He's finished in a wheelchair. So the toll of the race and the heat in Japan at the moment, they wheeled him away. You wouldn't have picked him as the gold medalist from the visuals in the aftermath, but there he was. Alexiev, Great Britain, silver. Hayden Wild of New Zealand, the bronze. The Australians came in 16th. Jacob Birtwistle, Matt Hauser 24th, Aaron Royal 26th. Top of the table clash Saturday night, Kingy. So they're one each. The Dogs are back top of the table. Melbourne's, you'd expressed gentle concern around Melbourne. So what are your wants from PFI, Preliminary Final Integrity?
So this is a great discussion for us, okay? So we've talked all year about this is how we play. So this Melbourne, we know how Melbourne play. They allow the opposition to – they hold their six defenders. So if you want to roll a half forward up to a stoppage, they're happy for you to do that. If you want to roll two, they'll hold their six. So it'll be 6v4 behind the ball. So they want to springboard or counterpunch or slingshot, whatever you want to call it. If they lose clearance, into the six players versus in an out number, and then go. We've seen Richmond do it. We've seen Hawthorn do it over the years gone by. That method works, and it gives you defensive stability, and it makes you hard to score against. That's their method. That's if they're to win the flag, it'll be on the back of defence. That's how they want to play. So they're going to play that way. They're not going to change now. Okay? So this is Simon Goodwin saying, guys, this is us. Flag in the ground. Gawn, Petrarca, Oliver at clearance. You're going to be outnumbered. Go your hardest. See if you can get a result. So we saw 3 weeks ago, Leon Cameron, and this is where the competition learns from the competition. they decided, okay, why don't we use Whitfield and Kelly at times coming up as a half forward? So see what Bevo does. See what Simon Goodwin does. Does he allow us to have those guys as spares around the clearance? Whitfield was best on ground that day, and Kelly was probably second best on ground. On the weekend, it was Bontempelli and McRae. So second best on ground and probably best on ground on the weekend were coming up as extras to the stoppage. Now, Bontempelli, no, he's a midfielder. But it depends where you stand at stoppage as to what position you are playing. So you see Bont moving other players around saying, well, I need you to be there so that you're nominally the wingman and you're nominally the half forward, so they'll drop off you and it'll free me up. Or it'll get me a wing matchup. He was against Langdon on a few stoppages. And then in the end, just through sheer weight of numbers, they said to Harm, you have to go and lock him away. And because of the problems that were happening around stoppages, so this is Bevo saying, I'm going to get what I want given the structure that you want.
Yep.
So two coaches' boxes going head to head. Now, it was a fantastic tactical battle. And Dogs win the game, okay? The Dogs win the game, but they got maximum out of Bontempelli, maximum out of McRae, the small wall, we're calling him, Caleb Daniels. He just runs his own race. He sits behind, in line with the ball, behind the ball, one kick all day. So off stoppage, he's loose. He releases himself. So those three guys did as they pleased through the course of the evening and had maximum nights. So does that happen again next time? I don't know. Do they say, okay, guys, we've got to make a subtle tweak. If Bontempelli and McRae are in the stoppage vicinity, drop off your other matchup and go and tag Bontempelli. Not tag, but you know, go toe to toe with him. So there's some subtleties that they could, you know, that'll change next time. But in saying all of that, Oliver Petrarca still had their time in a really brutal way, and they got back within 4 points. So the result's the result. It's the 4 points really doesn't matter at the end of the day because of the way the ladder's going to fall, and the top three are going to play MCG home grounds. So it's just an exercise in testing what you want versus what we want, and I thought it was brilliant. So 55 inside 50s is too many against Melbourne from Melbourne's point of view,
yep.
And this is what worries me. How many is too many? When do you just get through and break them? And Lever's been so good and, again, had a stack of intercepts. So both teams playing the way they wanted to. Both teams walk away saying, do we need to make change? Probably not. This is going to be us for the rest of the year. So, again, it's going to come down to small margins. Who executes their game plan better? So if I'm a Melbourne fan today, I'm thinking, you know what, that was a pretty good exercise for us. And if I'm a Dogs fan, I'm going, well, that was pretty good by us because – we've exposed a few flaws in their game. But again, with 5 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, it's 4 points of difference. So, to, you know, flip of the coin on who wins. Ball bounces here, ball bounces there. Wet night. It's a little bit. It's difficult sometimes on a wet night to get absolute conviction in this works and this fails. So I really, really love the matchup. So you oil and water, you called it last year. You don't know who's going to win, oil or water, but you know what your problems are. Both coaching staff, both coaching panels today be saying, okay, let's really break this down because they're going to play them again,
yes.
Whether it's first week or third week or fourth week of the finals.
Yep, that's right. They either play a qualifying final, a preliminary final, or a grand final, and it's possible they play two. They bookend the final series.
Yeah.
And the Bontempelli influence right at the end, so when Melbourne were threatening to win it, and he just – so he kicks the goal and then he wins the clearance and threads it lace out to Jamara.
Yeah, the clearance goal was the big one, wasn't it? The wraparound that slow left leg comes through. You feel it's coming through for an age, and then it just goes bang.
Yeah.
So they got a little bit wrong at stoppage, Melbourne. They really did, and they rolled to the wrong player on occasion, freeing up Bontempelli. Bontempelli a couple of times at stoppage was really critical, really important. I think they had 19 clearances between them, Bont and McRae. So just too many in the end. But that's their game. That's their game. So dry night, things are different. But again, we're just trying to work out what you can change. So what's coming back into those lineups? So Keith's a big loss.
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to be going to be 3 weeks. So again, what returns? What comes back? Does he come back as good as he possibly can? And there's a lot of talent still to change. And this is what we're tracking, health being your best player come finals, health being your best player post round 16. So everyone talks about how many players have played every game. I'm going to add into that players that have missed one game or two games across the course of the year. So it doesn't really hurt you if you've missed one or two. The gap between Melbourne and I think it's Sydney, Melbourne have had 17 players play all games or miss one or two. The worst of the top six teams is on 13 players. So the gap's only four. Doesn't sound like much. But four players in your prime best 22 players is a big number. What level of player they are is another separating factor or an elevating factor, if you like. So you and I next week are going to have a look at what's missing, what level of player is missing that's coming back.
Like it.
And then we're going to work out how close you are to your absolute best.
Okay.
Because I think that's it. These teams are so close together.
Yep.
It's such small margins at the top of the table that it'll be health.
James in Brighton on the Doggies. Welcome to you, James.
Hey, Jared.
Fire away.
Thanks for taking my call. I was just wanted to talk to you guys about the Doggies. Probably that last point that you're going to touch on next week, who to come back. And when I look at it, and why I'm happy you've been a Doggies supporter looking at it, you've got Dunkley, Treloar, Martin to come back in the midfield. Easton Wood to come in the back line. So that can help hopefully this week against Keith, missing Keith for a couple of weeks. And then really want to get your quick thoughts on the Shaqy move. He'll really settle in the back line, and that could be a really big difference for us going into the finals.
Spot on. Jared and I were just talking in the break then. The inclusion of Treloar will be profound on this midfield group because he brings breakaway speed. So there's winning clearance and there's winning clearance. If you can come out the front of stoppage and explode with speed, you instantly put the opposition under a pressure that generally they can't handle. And you get through, you change their spacings on the way they want to defend. So an aggressive defender will stand 5 metres in front of his opponent. As soon as you break out the front of stoppage, you can kick it over the top of that player effectively. So all the advantages go back to the side carrying the footy. So Treloar does that. He changes this midfield. I know he hasn't played a lot of footy for the Dogs, but what he's done has already shown that. Shaqy's a great discussion.
Yeah, so he's in what they got right. So the Daniel Rioli move to half back and Josh Shaqy. So I wouldn't have played Shaqy again. I'd seen enough of Shaqy the last time through. And then you put him back in defence at the exact moment that you lose Keith. You know, he's going to be critical for the next 3 weeks. So with those highly talented draft picks, exhaust every single option. And this is, I like Luke Beveridge from this point of view. All right, well, let's give this a go. This has never really been on our radar.
Yeah, can I just put a little Paddy Ryder in there?
Yeah, definitely.
A wet night, it is easy to work out where the ball's going on a wet night. When the ball starts zinging around and changing angles, or changing lanes, as the boys like to say, changing angles, a short kick, a long kick, you don't know where it's going, then you rely on... If you get the read on that play wrong, you rely on speed to recover. I still need to see that he's got that.
Yes.
I still need to see that he's got the ability to get back to locate an opponent that's already taken off, a quality opponent, or to be able to intercept Mark, to be in the right spot. I'm not signing off on that on one performance.
No.
So there's a lot of work to do. But ball in hand, he's as good a kick as you'll see at that size. So on the way out, he'll be really productive. I'm still concerned about on the way in.
Run the preliminary final integrity over Geelong for me.
Oh, Jared, I know you're getting a little bit excited again. This is the best they've looked, isn't it, for some time? Like Radigalia being a viable option now. Dangerfield looks in absolute peak health again. You know, we've seen him slowly build throughout the year. You know, Hawkins is just an irrepressible force, isn't he, down there? He's unbelievable. So, look, they are building perfectly. They really are. They want for nothing. I just, again, I'd love to know where Mitch Duncan is, where that sits. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? Because to me, that's going to be the deciding factor. One more midfielder of quality, a kicker, a big game player. So if we knew he was coming back, even if it was first final, then I think you'd change tack and go that way. I still think the Dogs bat a bit deeper in the midfield, and that's where ultimately the big games will be won. But we've seen Melbourne's midfield be super strong all year. Geelong's is getting that way. They're brutal.
Thomas with the bounce. Now he's going to get what he had a couple of minutes ago, Larky. Outmarks Plowman, walks into the open goal and hammers through his sixth. And he's having a day out, Nick Larky.
Here's King again. And he's the king of the pack! Rising over them all and taking another big contested mark.
That was the best bits of the weekends. Nick Larky and Max King. David King.
They're the best kind of good. Big good.
Big good.
When the Tools put on a show, Jared, it is so exciting, isn't it? Because the Max King performance, you've been waiting to see this. And okay, he got some luxuries. The guy he played on, anyway, he played him the same way. And he allowed him to run and jump. He allowed him to do what he needed. You know, everything that he allowed is Max's strength. So if you allow him to be big at the ball and extend and be a, you know, be an aerial threat at the absolute earliest point. So those guys are so tall and so long. When they get their hands up, they're marking the ball 3 metres off the ground, Jared.
Yep.
So how do you spoil that? So, you know, I loved what I saw. I particularly enjoyed Nick Larky's game. So this is a guy that's played 50-odd games of footy, and I reckon for 40 of them, he's fought two defenders versus himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So to see him, to see the ball movement now give him some opportunity in a one-out sense, and for us to see his smarts, his ability to lead to the right spot or demand the football, you know, in a leading lane, was just terrific. He's a beautiful kick. He's the most important player on this list in terms of the rebuild.
Yep.
If Nick Larky fails, the rebuild's back 4 years. It's as simple as that. So he needs another tool down here to help him, which is coming. But just to see them do it was so exciting.
Ross had texted through our private,
right,
Ross.
Edwards, thank you very much.
Max King, last 6 weeks, 16 goals, 4. After the previous 6 weeks, 5 goals, 15.
Yeah.
It's a good effort, I reckon, for a young player to put his mind back together.
Yeah.
And sort his technique out. And, yeah, he's had 20 shots in six-week blocks, 2 weeks running.
The criticism is twofold on what it was 10 years ago. But Lance Franklin, when he started, he was erratic. He'd have days where he'd kick 2 goals, 8. Remember that early
I'm not sure
Lance?
That's even past tense, Kingy.
Maybe not. But his early stuff was all over the place.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we're a lot harder on Max King than we were on Lance.
Should we put Buddy into the debate? Should Lance Franklin get a week for his elbow?
100% he should.
Now, in the way that this has run this year, will he get a week for his elbow? So we have documented from round one onwards just how slack we have been in addressing elbows and how they had become commonplace when they have no place in the game.
The simple answer is I have no idea. Try to work out Chris O's like one of those choose your own adventure books. It can finish in 17 different ways depending on which page you turn. So I think this whole system starts looking for ways to exonerate the player. How can we get him off? How can we not suspend him for this action? Instead of saying, no, elbow, out of play, not a football act, a considered decision to take the ball from the left hand to the right hand and then throw the left elbow back. So that's a movement you've thought about. Flushed him in the face. Okay, he's not concussed, but we can't have that. We just can't have that. I mean, and not just for AFL level, for every code, for every level of the code across the land, you cannot have that, Jared.
Yeah. So should have been sorted in round one.
How many times have we allowed him a little get out of jail free card?
So Buddy's always got the benefit of the doubt in the MRO calls, always. And I'd put him in the same category as Shane Mumford.
Hmm.
I think if Michael Christian continues to do what he's done throughout the year, Franklin doesn't get suspended, and it will be yet another error on the dealing with elbows that will have to be rectified heading into next year, but should never have been allowed to reach this point.
I don't want to make this personal, but I'm getting frustrated with our tolerance to things like this.
Yeah.
We have the same discussion every 3 weeks.
As soon as you suspend the first two blokes for elbows, we go back to, you can't throw elbows around, which is a really good starting point. It's a really good starting point.
We had a look at the Travis Boak tackle last week, you and I, okay? And we said, okay, players learn quickly. That was within 12 hours. The previous night there were four free kicks paid for dangerous tackles,
yep.
And Travis Boak said, well, I'm not doing that. If you suspend one player for this and make it the biggest name in the game, start there. Give him a week. It's gone. It won't happen again. But because we tiptoe and we're, oh, it's $1,000, doesn't hit home.
Can we bring in Kathy and Keelor on Max King here? Kathy, welcome.
Oh, Jared and David. Look, as a St Kilda supporter, it was just so exciting watching Max glide through the air. Like, we knew he could do it. And then to finish it off with his goal kicking. And we thank Ruffy and David Rath that said they're the ones that will work on it. And they've proven correct. They didn't need anyone else helping Max. And, oh, look, it's just so exciting watching a young forward. Just so exciting. I just wish we could have watched it live, Jared. It just, because as you know, there's nothing better than watching sport live. But, oh, we're so wrapped in Max. We love him.
Great stuff, Kathy. You'll get plenty of chances throughout the years to watch him live. I'm sure of that. We tapped the Carlton mood on the means test. We should tap the Melbourne mood. Simon in Croydon North. It's a longer text than this, but I'll just give you the highlights. You have no idea, Ree Melbourne. This tormented supporter of 60 years. We are gone.
Oh, no.
We'll probably win one more game, slide to sixth, and then lose the first final.
Oh, no.
Well, Simon, that's a big burden to carry into Monday.
I feel sorry for you.
You've got to shed that as the week goes along.
Just we're always looking towards the finals, okay?
Yeah.
Where do you sit? So round 23 at the moment. Shapes like this.
Yep.
Geelong play Melbourne.
Nice.
Which will be first week finals.
Yep.
And Western Bulldogs play Port Adelaide.
Oh.
So it's 1v4 and 2v3.
That's
in
round 23. You get an extra week of finals.
So what will that do? I mean, that's an awkward one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm the AFL and I've got the ability to change the fixture in a little bit, I'm not. I don't know if that's a great idea to leave that as round 23.
I don't know, you can't do anything about it now.
We've got the ability, haven't we, to do the little swap and change
get those games away a couple of weeks earlier.
Yeah. It'd be awkward, wouldn't it?
Well, it's an unusual scenario.
Yeah.
If they are our top four, yeah.
Well, they probably are going to be, aren't they?
I still think Sydney can storm the top four.
Well, they're in my seedings.
Let's do the seedings.
Oh, okay.
Give me your Swans material. Are they at four?
They're at four. And I'll tell you what, I've called them the Dementors. Now, you're a Harry Potter man.
Oh, this is brilliant.
So they suck the soul out of their opposition. They deny everything.
Awesome.
They don't allow you to play. They don't allow you to move the ball. They don't allow you to uncontested mark. They don't allow you to run. They armbar at all times. And then they just chip the ball around and destroy you. So the Dementors for me at four. You?
They're at four for me. I feel like I was an early adopter.
Okay. All right. You're on.
What about those? What about the tackle inside 50 stat? 28 to 2.
Yeah, I know.
That blew my mind.
Well, Freo, gee whiz.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I think they walked into some tackles, Jared.
Three?
Three for me. Same as last week. I'm leaving Melbourne at three.
Yep. So I flipped them around. I said that two and three would be decided by the outcome of the game,
yep.
And I'm totally comfortable with that. So Melbourne have progressively moved from one to two to three for me.
I'm going to move Geelong to two.
Oh, I like it.
Yep.
So Geelong play outstandingly well and lose top spot. That's excellent.
Can I tell you why?
Yep.
Which logically gives me the Dogs at one, because Beveridge's ability to set that game up on the weekend for his stars made me elevate. You?
Yep. I'll go two Dogs. One Cats.
Oh, stop it with your Cats.
I'll hold them.
Stop it.
Kingy, good means test.
Good on you, mate.